to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps.
In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly.
Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. It's Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible. Hanging out of bed. Say the bad, say the bad, have a little bad. Hanging around a bunch of bad, out of bad, day, bad, love, bad, do bad, 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 it's such a bad vibe. We are live in the Magic City Studios in the Varela Palacio, right across the river through the woods from where Granny loves to tap into Grandpa's stash pre-rolls in New York City. The Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, ready to travel, some kind of fashion shake it up, should do, but all my friends come around, flat a party of rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown. What a mess, the tides are tattered, my brain splattered all over Manhattan, should do, shake it up. Hey, what's going on? I'm Farrell with Carver High this evening. So, did you just see that Carver High to pick six, Hizzy?
Yeah, I did just see that.
6-7. What'd you think of that? Nice pass by Hurts.
Well, I originally thought blame nice pass. I actually did blame the receiver because he fell down. Like if he doesn't fall down, it's kind of contested. It might still be a pick, but it might not go to the house. The receiver completely blew a tire, and that ruined it for Hurts. And Diggs takes it the whole way.
We had a flat tire.
Blew a flat, baby. He's going to have to make a pit stop. Blew a flat top, a flat tire.
So now it's what, 26-7?
It is now 27-7, yes.
I'm feeling pretty good at this point about that 3.5.
No doubt. No doubt. I mean, look, the Cowboys have completely dominated this game tonight. Let's be fair. I mean, the only Eagle touchdown was a defensive one in the end zone there when the big guy Fletcher Cox got his hands on the ball. Look at him giving him the business. Hurts giving Smith the business here because he fell down. Other than that, the Eagle offense has been embarrassing. They've done nothing. And then the one time they did cross the 50 late in the first half, Sirianni punts. Right. I mean, honestly, you're down 20-7. You're on the other side of the 50. Like, what are we punting for on 4th and 4 or 5? What are we doing?
So anyway, I didn't see him giving him the business. I like looked away or something. Or
yeah, he said something.
Was he really giving him the business?
He went to Smith and he kind of just gave him a look. He was saying something to him. He kind of gave him a look like, come on, bro. Like, what are you doing to me out here? It's hard enough. You're gonna fall down. Like, that's the look he was giving him.
I can't believe he fell down. What did he fall down for? I mean, I don't get it. Like, his momentum, he was so fast on the cut that he fell down?
It looks like it, yeah. Or, you know, he was turning around because Hurts threw it behind him, and he was trying to stop on a dime to go back and catch it. Who knows? The long night.
I don't know. I heard earlier they were going to have Nick Saban on, the Eli.
Yes.
And did they have him on there?
I believe he's this quarter, the third quarter, they're going to have him.
All right. because I heard that he was coming on. And
yeah,
I just didn't see it. I was actually watching this.
Did you watch LeBron? Did you watch the LeBron quarter?
No, I did not watch LeBron. The reason why I didn't watch it was I was watching this thing just for an hour that was distracting me, and it was about Marty Fish. Do you remember him, the tennis player? We welcome our radio affiliates, all of them. It's just a great day. Congratulations to all of you for being able to hang out with us on a Monday Night Football with Carver High and Pharrell on the bench on a misery Monday nighter. We got the Monday Night Football game going on, so we welcome all of you. Sirius, Mightier 1090, Sportsman App, Sports Finally. So Marty Fish was a tennis player that for, you know, the U.S. side that really I never knew he had. Did you know he had all these mental health problems?
I did not know that about Marty Fish, no.
Did you ever know that he was scheduled to play in the fourth round of the U.S. Open on Labor Day in, like, 2012, and he was facing Federer to go to the quarters, and he pulled out of the match, like, you know, 30 minutes before the match. He pulled out. He called up. He was in his limo with his wife, and he called up and said he wouldn't be playing because he had health issues. And his health issues were he had, it turns out that he had massive, I mean, just way out of control anxiety issues. And his anxiety was not nerves. It wasn't butterflies. It wasn't, stress. It was overwhelming anxiety of his brain, where he it literally made his heart race to like 220 beats a minute, whatever, as opposed to whatever it is. Like if you were racing, you'd be at around 160. He was at 220, like heart attack speed.
Wow.
And he like had these overwhelming like thoughts of just chaos, and here's Saban coming on the show right now, but just crazy thoughts, like just crazy overwhelming. The whole world was caving in on him, everything, not just tennis, but just everything, life, breathing, you name it. And they didn't find it out until he went to see a child psychologist, believe it or not, figured it out and figured out what was wrong with his brain. It's all very exciting. So Saban's on it, and Peyton just said to him, he goes, I only played against you once in the pros when you were with the Dolphins. And he said, one of my favorite things to do against you was throw real quick third down completions to see you yelling at Kirby Smart every time. He goes, I enjoyed watching you yell at Kirby Smart. And then before that, Eli said to him after Dak Prescott fumbled the snap, Coach, is that one of your favorite plays when the quarterback fumbles the snap from the center? And he said, it drives me nuts. But it's great when they get him on. He's actually, you know, a normal human being, smiling, loose, having fun, not being mad at the media, not being angry all the time on television, in press conferences and everything. Now he's just a cool guy.
Well, he runs the same exact act that Belichick runs, because Belichick does the same thing. When you get him in a setting like this, where he just like sits around at the table, like on NFL Network, and talks football, like on some 86 Giants special, Belichick is like the best guy in the room. He's making jokes. He's telling great stories. He's so in-depth. Then you get Belichick like the cup we played today on Coast to Coast. I ask him about the interception for Mac Jones, and he goes, You know, that's like Nick Saban. When he gets mad, he doesn't say. So Saban and Belichick really are the same. They're cut from the same cloth.
He's in a pod.
They do the same thing. You know, they're insightful guys. You just got to get them away from their setting and away from the
football. Day to day.
Right.
So Peyton said to him, he goes, I know I was down there visiting your team, and you let me visit the Alabama team. And he said, the one thing I noticed, you took all the DBs with you for a meeting away from the team. And he said, head coaches don't do that. And he said, well, I was a DB coach and a defensive coordinator. And my favorite thing was, he goes, I was a secondary coach before I was a D coordinator. And he said, early in my career, and he said, I love the D-backs, and I love to meet with them and to teach them things and to coach them. And he said, I like to coach all the areas of the football team, not just be the head coach. He says, it's hard to do when you have a million things going on, film and everything else. He said, it's hard to do. He said, but I still try to do it. Now, going back to my story about Marty Fish, the reason why it was interesting, this was a story about mental health. It wasn't a story about tennis. So it turns out when he was a kid, he used to live with Andy Roddick's family. And Andy Roddick's dad was like one of these crazy dads, like Marijanovic's dad. Remember the crazy psycho football dad that made his son like a robot? And he trained him all day, every day. Roddick's dad did the same thing to him. So the reason they let Fish live with Roddick was so that Andy would have a hitting partner and a practice partner every day, 7 days a week, someone to hit with and train with. And so for their whole youth and childhood, Marty Fish lived with Andy Roddick's family. And so they were very competitive, very in everything, girls, everything, food, video games, tennis, everything. They competed at everything. And it was great to see them as kids, very young, and, 8 years old, 10 years old on. And so what happened was, is they told the story of Roddick retiring at 30 because the stress of having to live up to being the number one player in the world and to keep up with these young kids and to be everything that everybody wants you to be on television and the media and the fans and the tour and everything else. It ate him alive, and he retired. He quit at the U.S. Open one year. He just walked up to the press room, if you remember, and he said, this is my last match. And he never played again at 30. And the only person he ever played again with was doubles. He played once in Atlanta with Fish. So Fish was his, like, best friend. And it was weird because he said when they were kids, they were more competitors than friends. He was like his, he competed with him every day at everything. And it was like my training partner lived across the hall from me. And he was basically my competition and enemy in everything. So they weren't like best of friends. But then later in life, when Marty had all of his problems with his mental health and anxiety issues, and they showed his like brain, right? They showed his brain and how it in CAT scans and all this other stuff and imaging and everything. They showed his brain, and it was like the most overwhelming thing you've ever seen for a brain, right? The brain was covered in what doctors would deem anxiety. He had his entire brain was covered with problems. And whereas you or I wouldn't have those issues, we might have a little bit of temper, a little bit of stress, a little bit of anxiety, a little, pleasure, things that are on your brain when they look at it. This guy's brain was just covered in darkness and problems. Like, they literally said on this show that he was going to kill himself. Like, he just had no reason to live because his anxiety was so overwhelming that it was devouring him, and he just didn't want to live. He didn't want to come out of the bed. He just wanted to lay in bed for 2-3 months at a time, never come out of the house and not even see daylight. He was messed up. And they showed him somehow get treatment and help and therapy from this child psychologist that was an expert in it. And apparently it's like a thing that can start with kids and then manifest into a real problem later in life. And that's what he had. And it was like the doctor said it was, suicidal type anxiety. And the story is of how he conquered it. and he became like the Davis Cup captain later in life. They brought him back into tennis that way. Like, he got a job as the captain of the Davis Cup team for the U.S. and he's back in tennis and he's happy. He's got a normal life. He's got kids, a wife, and he's got his mental health back, and he's doing okay. Right. And it was a crazy story, you know, particularly in the, I guess, aftermath of the Osaka stuff, as I'm sitting there, you know, what's wrong with this chick? Like, if you don't like it so much, you know, if tennis is so overwhelming for you, then just quit. Just stop playing. You know, don't do it anymore if it's so overwhelming. Remember, she just quit at the U.S. Open again, and she just, you know, or whatever, got beat, and she just hasn't been herself. And she just can't even get through anything, press conferences, and she's miserable. And I'm like, why don't you just quit tennis? I mean, it's just not even worth it. Like, who cares? Meanwhile, she goes to the Met Gala and she does all that stuff. You know what I'm talking about, Carver? She, like,
oh, yeah.
She does all this marketing, PR stuff, does all these commercials.
Sports Illustrated, Met Gala.
Yeah, SI swimsuits. I mean, she does everything. But she can't, like, play tennis anymore because she gets so overwhelmed with her mental health. Well, I guess now, after seeing what I saw about this guy, Marty Fish, about the problems he had, I mean, he said they showed this one match where he was in the third round of the U.S. Open that year in 2012. He literally played the last two sets. He didn't remember one point. He didn't hear any crowd. He didn't see any crowd. He thought he was the only person in the stadium at Arthur Ashe. He literally thought that he doesn't remember one shot, not one serve, not one second of anything. He just floated through it. He was so lit high with anxiety that he didn't remember one second of it. And then they showed him, like, they showed the actual highlights of him playing, and he was snapping his jaw. He was like, he kept snapping his jaw. You could tell something was wrong with him when they told you. They're like, look, there's something wrong with him. So watch. You'll see it yourself. So I'm watching. I'm like, holy shit. I'm watching this guy, like, totally out of his mind. And he was completely oblivious to anything. And he won, like, straight sets. He played he destroyed the guy and doesn't remember one shot of the whole match. It was some whack stuff, bro. I got to be honest with you, Carver High. I never knew, that you could have, anxiety is a scary thing, I guess. And I told you I've had a couple issues with it, where when I play basketball in big games, where I go I go to the bathroom, like, nonstop. Like, it's the craziest thing. Like, I have not, like, when I play normally, I don't have that problem. I just go out and I walk in, I put on my shoes, I stretch, I play, right? Every day. And I train every day and I play a lot and I just walk in and I play. And then when I play in these games that matter, and like tournament games and playoff games and league games and things like that, I get this, I don't get butterflies. I get anxiety and I get, I have to go to the bathroom like nonstop, like every 5 minutes. Like, it's just out of control. Like, it starts at home and I'll be like going to the bathroom, and then I go to the gym. I got to go to the bathroom like 6 times before I play. It's the weirdest thing. I've never seen anything like it. I'm like a dog. Like, you know, the dog that goes around the neighborhood and he like lifts his leg on every little, like every neighbor, yeah. Like every driveway he hits a rock or a telephone pole or a fire hydrant or a bush or a tree. He just hits everything. That's me at the gym. I can hit everything in the whole gym.
Makes a lot of pit stops.
Well, I just think that anxiety, like, I never knew when I saw it that you could actually, I'd never seen that before, where they showed the brain, right? And they showed it and it was just covered in like blackness and like death. Like, the guy had, like, they said his brain was just shrouded in it. Like, he was engulfed in it, like suicidal engulfed. And I was like, Jesus, I didn't even know that was possible. I really didn't. I didn't know that you could have it so bad that your entire brain is covered in it and messed up in it, and you can't even literally do anything else. You're just so overwhelmed with it that you want to kill yourself. Like, that's crazy. Like, I, you know, you've always heard of people that, you know, are suicidal, or they're depressed, you know, they have depression in a really bad way, and they think bad thoughts and, you know, want to hurt themselves or whatever, kill themselves. And I never, you know, I guess, you know, I never thought of it that way with anxiety, right? That it was this, you know, disease that was so overwhelming on your brain that you had almost no hope. And I mean, when I watched this thing, I was just like blown away by it, because I was, I guess, uneducated on it. I didn't know that that was possible. I just thought that, you know, you were clinical depression, or you had, you know, anxiety, that you had whatever, panic attacks, things of this nature. I, you know, I guess I just didn't know enough about it, but I think it's pretty scary stuff. Like, you know, I couldn't believe what I was watching. I was just sitting there going, my mouth was dropped open. So anyway, you said to me earlier that you think after the Eagles scored a touchdown to make it 27-14, that you think, it seems like you think that the Cowboys have a tremendous chance to blow this.
Well, not blow it in the sense that they're going to lose this game. I mean, you got to figure up 27-7 before that TD that they have the game in hand, but I think that we've come to realize over the past few years that when have the Cowboys ever made anything easy? Like, when do the Cowboys ever blow anybody out? Like,
anymore.
Like, seriously, like, I just feel like there's a chance they're going to win this game, but they might have to sweat a little bit. Like, they'll let Eagle get back to within a score or something like that. It just feels now, Dak slinging the ball all over the joint. I know you're a little ahead of me, but They're at
he's
about
not really
midfield.
Slinging it. He's a mess right now, if you ask me.
Well, listen, if the Eagles get the ball back here and they go and, you know, they can get another score, suddenly, bang, one score game. I mean, it's Cowboys always sweat. All their games come down to the end. There's never, unless they're losing, if they win a game, it's never in a blowout.
You know, when I watch these guys, oh, he's going to get sacked and just torn up right here.
Look out.
They got to punt the ball now. I mean, they just went right through that line and messed him up. I mean, you know what? You leave him that open to hits, he won't last the season. He won't. There's no quarterback in the league that can take those shots. That was two guys right there, Malachi Crunch, that were going to mess him up, and they did. They hit him hard, high and low. And if he has to take that all season, he's not going to be standing in January. I mean it. So, oh, and they blocked the punt. No, he just got it off. I cannot believe they didn't block that punt. I thought they had it. Anyway, I thought they had it. Peyton Manning, it appears to me, well, I mean, they both, when they watch the game, they both know everything that's going on, obviously. But the difference is, to me, is that Eli's a lot calmer than Peyton. You know what I mean? Like, Eli's the guy with the slow heart rate, the puppy dog eyes. He's just staring at the game, and he's like watching, and he's got a smile on his face, and he just looks like a cartoon character.
He throws out like one-liners. He throws out like little one-liners.
But he's not. But the other guy, Peyton, is really intense. He's like, he can't sit still. He's lit up. He's like yelling at the TV. He's yelling at the offense when they make mistakes. He wants the ball in his hands right now. He wishes he was playing still. He's like, hurry up, snap the ball, move the ball, look at the flat, blah, blah, blah. Every single play, he's more intense about the game than his brother. Have you noticed that?
100%. And it just, you can sense that every single play, it looks like Peyton's just running it through his head. Like, what would I do if I was on the field right now? Like, it just, whereas Eli, like you said, more relaxed, doesn't really care about that stuff anymore. Peyton's there giving you like a full-blown breakdown. You know what it does remind me of? And it kind of makes sense because it's like A-Rod with the baseball now. Now A-Rod's gotten a little out of control on Sunday Night Baseball. I'm talking about when A-Rod first started. Like, you can tell that A-Rod still loves the game and breaks down every situation, and it's all running through his head. You get that same feel with Peyton when he watched these things. Right. He loves the game. It's still every single snap he thinks about if he was in that position. I feel like A-Rod does that with the baseball when he's doing it.
I don't know about him anymore, actually, doing the baseball. Like,
well, he's become a bit of a cartoon character now. It's gotten a little out of control.
Yeah, I just no disrespect to anybody. I'm not one to sit here and act like I could do better or anything like that. I'm not that guy. I'm not.
He should be in the
studio.
Saying,
like, what's that?
He should be in the studio. He should be doing like the pre and the post. He should be doing.
Yeah.
That's what he should be doing. Not in. He should not be doing like what Smoltz does on Fox. He should not be the color guy. He shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah, I kind of get that now. I just don't care about him anymore calling a game at all. I just don't need him calling a game. I just don't need it. I really don't. And I'll tell you what, I said this before, I'll say it again. This works for me. I'll never watch the regular booth again.
Wow.
They're so awful compared to these two.
I know.
It's not even worth it. Why would you ever turn that back on unless they weren't on?
Yeah.
Like, because they're not doing every game. They're doing 10 of them.
Yeah. And you don't know which ones they're doing and not doing either. Like, they don't tell you until that week. So I don't even know if, like, next week's a big time Monday night game, and they have to be doing next Monday. Because next Monday's Raiders Chargers, big game. They're both off to great start. So Raiders Chargers, a big game. You would think that they're going to do it next week.
So, I think they're great at it. There's no doubt about it. And I'll say this about Eli as well. So Eli yesterday got his jersey retired, right?
Yes.
And the Ring of Honor at the MetLife, which is just a terrible stadium, I have to say.
Awesome.
I mean, they really threw that up in a hurry. That was like, it was like Vegas when they build a casino and they hire, like, you know, 3,000 too many contractors, and they build it in like a year, and it would have normally taken 2 years. When they decide they're going to speed build something, it seems like that's what they did with that stadium. They're like, you know what? We had like a giant bowl ashtray stadium before. Let's just do it again. Instead of building a Shangri-La, Kick-Ass, Jerry's World, or Allegiant, or SoFi, or whatever stadium, Mercedes-Benz in Atlanta, they built, what they did was, or even the one in Minnesota, the U.S. Bank, they're all Kick-Ass, right? And then they built this thing where they had the Super Bowl in February, which they lucked out on. That stadium sucks. Like,
it's
I've
awful.
Been to that stadium for Jets and Giant games and high school football playoffs and concerts, right? And Guns N' Roses and all the rest. That stadium just absolutely sucks. They can't even, like, even the food there is disgusting. Have you ever noticed that? Like, you can't
everything
even,
about
eat at
everything
that stadium,
about the place.
You're gonna
stinks.
Get, you're gonna get Rhea if you eat there. You're sick within 4 hours. I mean, you'll be on the toilet all night. Automatic. I don't eat at that stadium. That place is a hellhole. It really is. But I want to tell the story of him getting the Ring of Honor yesterday and how, like, calm he is about everything. At Scarborough High, I know you'll be doing shows, right? So you need to know.
I definitely need to know. I definitely,
you know what I mean?
Know.
You need to know the skinny because it affects you.
Yes.
In a big way. So anyway, what I was saying to you was that MetLife is such an antiseptic dump.
It's
you know what else? It's a loser. Ever since they built it, have you ever noticed they've sucked? Ever since they built that thing, all they've done is lose, both teams.
Yeah, I think the second Patriots Super Bowl might have been the second year they were in that building, but other than that season, they've done nothing.
You're telling me this, the second Super Bowl they won over
the one, yeah, the second time they beat them, they were in MetLife, because I remember them having the, you know, they did like a rally there after the parade or something, and it was in MetLife. But that was it. That's the only season they've ever been good there.
Anyway, he had a big day Sunday, and they screwed that up too by losing as usual.
Oh, embarrassing.
And they lost to the Falcons, and I mean, they are so bad, the Falcons. So what does that tell you about the Giants? That's how bad they are. They're so bad, yep, they can't even beat the worst teams in the league. So they are absolutely, I don't know about predictable, but they're definitely a loser. Okay. And they are not good. And it's amazing to me with the talent that they have. I mean, they have some serious talent on the receivers, the running back, the, you know, tight ends. I mean, they got some guys that can play, and they just don't play. They just don't play. They come to the New York Giants and they suck. I mean, these guys all look like, literally all of them, Rudolph, all of them, they all look like their career's over. I mean, it is the, and then they lose Martinez. They are so bad, but nothing compared to the Jets. The Jets are anemic bad. I mean, they can't even score. They can't even score an effing touchdown in an NFL game. That's how bad they are. That they are that bad. Like, did you ever think once yesterday that they were going to score in Denver? I never once thought they were getting even a field goal.
No. I did not think they were scoring in that game. It was embarrassing.
Not even a field goal, right? Like, I never thought they were going to get a first down.
Awful. Pathetic performance.
I honestly think that kid just completely hairdryer city.
Well, I told you this after they drafted him. I said, he's going to be the biggest bust out of all these quarterbacks in this draft. I thought this was a bad scene for him. You're taking a kid who has spent his entire life in Utah, grew up there, high school, BYU. You know, he had one great year in college at BYU, didn't play great competition. Sometimes that doesn't matter, but he didn't play great competition. And you take that kid out of that pond right there of Provo and Utah's whole life, and then you drop him into the New York City environment with a team that historically never wins. The fans destroy anybody, you know, every kid that comes through if they don't get it done fast enough. The coaches are usually a disaster. That sounds like just a bad scene from the get-go. And unfortunately for the kid, He's played the part so far. Now, I know a lot of the Jet defender will say, well, they have no offensive line, and he's running for his life. The offensive lineman, the one guy, Van Routen, actually gave him the business yesterday. He said, Zach's got to learn to get rid of the ball quicker. They were giving him the business. So this is already a bad start.
Terrible.
He's not good.
He's so terrible. Now, listen, when Eli, they had his day for him yesterday, you saw him. He barely waved. He just was like, when they were cheering him for endlessly standing ovation, cheering the guy for 5 minutes straight, 10 minutes, he just stood there and he was just looking around like, this is really cool. Thank you. I mean, this guy's heart rate is a zero. He just absolutely is like, I mean, you need to golf with him, you know, because the guy wouldn't have the yips. He just is calm as ever. And I think he looks like a guy to me that doesn't care at all anymore that he's not playing. He just does not miss it one bit. I don't care what he says. He'll say he misses it. He's lying. He looks like he is so done with being hit and losing and being in that loser. And I know he loves the Giants organization. That's all he knows. And he'll be an executive there one day. You know it's coming. And people said, well, you know, Peyton was going to be the commissioner and all this other stuff, and he's going to be the owner and all this other stuff. He can do whatever he wants. I won't be surprised he's part of an ownership group in Denver, but I think Eli wants nothing to do with, he doesn't miss playing football at all. I mean, this guy looks to me like he's like, I am done being hit. I am done losing. I am done being asked questions by the same idiots every day in the press room or in the locker room or in a presser. He just looks so done with it. And then he just looks like this job he's got is so easy. All he's got to do is watch Monday Night Football and mess around with his brother on television and get paid millions. I mean, what a life this guy's got. Because he looked to me yesterday like he didn't even care they were putting his number up in the rafters.
No.
Did he?
He didn't. And that's always been Eli's demeanor. You know, that's kind of always been him. Aw shucks, Eli. Yeah. And now we know that it ended poorly. And, you know, McAdoo really screwed up.
Benched him.
Well, yeah, McAdoo ended the streak, and he really screwed that whole thing up. But
McAdoo was an idiot.
At the end of the day, he did play his entire career with the Giants.
Touchdown, Cowboys.
With Big Blue. Ooh, on fourth and goal, huh?
Yeah,
Dak running
goal,
around.
Touchdown. Now that'll do it.
Oof.
That's got to do it, right? You're up double digits. You're up.
You would think
33-14. There's no way they blow this.
No, they're not going to blow this one.
Yeah, this isn't the Packers you're dealing with here.
No, no. The Eagle offense isn't good enough to come back three scores in the fourth quarter. They're not good enough.
Philadelphia doesn't even have enough talent. They don't have enough guys to score that many points.
We do need one Eagle touchdown to get the over here. We do need one more touchdown. So let's get one Eagle touchdown.
I think you can get that.
We could use that. All right. Let's get the over here.
Now, let me ask you this question. Because I want to go through all these games. But you, I'm going to go watch Philadelphia play Sunday. All right.
Yes.
I'm going to the Kansas City Philly game. And what I'm seeing, I already did the game. I'm on Kansas City, laying six. I'm already on it. I think they're going to take it out on Philadelphia. If you think Dallas did them tonight, I think Kansas City's going to do them in their own building by at least three touchdowns. I mean, they're going to do them. I think Mahomes is going to go off on them because Prescott went off on them, and they're just not that good is the reality. No one wants to admit it. They're like, wow, the Eagles. No, they suck, and they're going to get worked. Am I crazy?
No, you're not crazy. And the reason why originally everybody got all hyped up about the Eagles was who'd they beat up in week number one? The Falcons. The Falcons suck. Well,
right.
We've seen that for weeks now. So, yeah, you know, and that makes the Giants look even worse, that the Eagles destroyed the Falcons in week one and the Giants couldn't do anything against them. But that's here nor there. This isn't a good football team. This is not. We knew that coming into this year. We didn't think the Eagles were going to be that good. And their defense has problems. Hurts isn't that good. They're going to get – and the Chiefs are – listen, I know they've got – what is it? They've only covered – I think it's one of their last 14 games against the spread the Chiefs have covered. They're covering next week because you've got a team coming off of two bad losses. They had a double-digit lead in Baltimore and blew it. And then last week, you know, yesterday, they played a team that they always beat. They turned it over four times, some awful turnovers by Mahomes. You know they're stewing all week. They're going to go into Philadelphia, and I think you're going to see a beatdown. You're going to see them get whacked, and you're going to see Mahomes have a huge day. 3-4 touchdowns, 350 yards. You need to tear this team up. They need a big win. They need a rout.
Yeah, I'm going to end up really strong. If I hit this both ways, Dallas and the spread, I ended up like really a great afternoon, basically from 4 o'clock on, right? Overall, you know, hitting a Green Bay spread, Dallas both ways, Vikings both ways, Rams both ways, Vegas and Denver to win. That's a solid 4 on 8 o'clock and Monday night finish for the week. And the week before, I was 74% in the NFL in my bets, and so I'm going to come back strong here. On what I deemed a bad day overall, a rough day. Because you remember, and we'll get into this now, you remember I took some serious risks this week. On Coast to Coast, I said, look, all these games just look too obvious to me, and like I'm going to take some chances. Like with Washington, I knew the Bills would win, but I didn't like it at 9, and so I did it at 8.5, and then it went down to 7. I took chances with the Bears, the Lions, and the Jags and Jets and the Vikings. And I went with it, right? And the Chargers. And I hit some of them, right? I hit half of them.
Yeah.
The other ones I got wrong. All right. So what I learned was, in terms of betting, I'm never betting on the Jaguars again. I'm never betting on the Jets again. I now know officially that Washington sucks. Like, I told you that the night that I watched them barely beat the Giants, I said, they're not even good. This isn't even a good football team.
Overrated defense. I mean, tremendous.
Overrated.
They got so carved up. I watched, obviously, every snap of that game. I had it right in front of me. They got so torn up. And listen, I know Josh Allen, the Bill offense, is good. They did whatever they wanted all day. Honestly, they could have scored 60. That's how bad. I mean, I think the Bills actually took their foot off the gas in the second half. I think they could have scored more.
Right. And then do you bet on the Bears anymore? Do you have a trust?
No.
Like, because the Bears are playing the Lions. How do you go near that game?
Because I'm on the Lions. Suck. Lions, baby. Yeah, but here's the difference. And like you talked about today, how there's so many bad teams in the league. And we can list them all. The Bears, the Giants, the Jets, the Jaguars. You can go on and on. Now, the Lions belong in that conversation in terms of talent. But what have we gotten from the Lions the first 3 weeks? They're giving you effort, and they're covering, right? They covered against the Niners backdoor. They covered, you know, they played well for a half in Green Bay and then fell apart. They were, you know, you thought maybe they would get a cover there, but they didn't.
Right.
Then against the Ravens, another good effort, cover at home. I feel like the Lions, their talent is bad, but it seems like they're playing hard for Campbell. And if you give me a big line with Detroit, I think I might be willing to take them.
What about the Jaguars and Jets? You're not going to bet with them ever again, are you?
No. No, they're done. The Jaguars and the Jets, they both suck. They're just awful teams.
Do you think the Dolphins suck? Or I think with Brissett, they're decent. All right, we're going to go through all these games and college tonight on a bench. Eli's talking to Chris Long right now. Long's first career sack was against Eli, and one of his last sacks of his career was against Eli. And he's joking about how they were in slow-mo, two old men, couldn't move. And Peyton was like, you were a statue your whole career, standing back there in the pocket. He wasn't much of a statue that Super Bowl against the Patriots, the first one when he escaped that trouble and threw that bomb over the middle, and what's his name caught it at the top of his helmet.
David Tyree.
Tyree, right?
Yep.
You know, it's funny, like, that guy goes down in history in New York as, like, rock star, two Super Bowls against Brady. When Brady has seven Super Bowl rings, and this guy beat him twice, that's got to eat at Brady, no matter what anybody says.
Oh, no doubt.
It's got to kill him.
Absolutely eat at him. No
He'd
doubt.
He'd have nine.
He'd have nine. He's got, what is he got? Three losses, right? Two to Eli and
one to Philly.
And one to Nick Foles. Yeah, those are his three losses.
Well, if you were the Bears and you saw what happened
I'd play
Justin
Foles this
Field,
week.
You'd play Foles?
1,000%. That kid now, and here's what else that showed you yesterday. Remember how everybody got so gaga over Fields in the preseason when he was running all over those third and fourth team defenses in the preseason games? That just shows you right there. There's a big difference between preseason and going up against, you know, Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney. There's a big difference.
There's a big difference between going up against the bartender down at the
guy who's bagging groceries now.
Yeah. Vince, what was his name? Vince.
I mean, they had 40 yards of offense.
What was the guy's name in the movie about the Eagles?
Vince Papale. Vince Papale.
Vince Papale. That's what he went up against. Vince Papale. There you go. It's Pharrell on a bench.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.